We are recording. My name is Ashley Tobolo. It is July 24th, 2021. It is 7:20 p.m. and I am here with Janine Brown. We are at Sweet Jenny's Ice Cream Shop in Williamsville, New York. So Janine, if you could just stay, first I need to tell you that any answers that you give during this interview will be included in a publicly accessible database. Is that okay with you?
Yes.
Consent. Okay. Okay, so first, can you state your full name and say what the primary things you do on a day-to-day basis are, like your job, extracurricular activities, etc.?
My name is Janine Brown, and I am a full-time graduate student with the University at Buffalo. Studying music education. And then I also part-time teach martial arts in Williamsville with Master Ketchum's Martial Arts Academy.
Okay. And you had another job during the pandemic, correct?
Yeah, I worked at Our Lady of Black Rock in Buffalo, New York.
And what did you do there?
I was the music and art teacher, but I also taught religion for 8th grade. Primary duties with the whole pandemic thing was we had to do temperature checks in the morning and give out hand sanitizer. We had to walk the students from their classrooms to lunch and then back. And then we also, instead of having a music and art room that students went to, I just went to each of the different classrooms whenever their class times were.
So unlike a lot of people, you were in person during most of the pandemic?
Right. We had a couple of breaks. One, I believe, in November, and then the other in February, where we had to all quarantine for a few weeks. But other than that, we were in person for pretty much the whole time.
And during those breaks, were you off of school or were you teaching remotely?
I was teaching remotely for the whole time.
Okay. And what was that like for you?
Oh, that was not fun. I did not enjoy that. It's hard to do art and music over Zoom, mostly because I cannot get the supplies to the students. And because our student body doesn't always have access to a bunch of different art supplies that we would normally use in school, I pretty much just had to have them do pencil and paper stuff because not everybody had markers, not everybody had oil pastels or paint or anything that you would normally use. And also for the music side, not everybody has instruments or even working headphones or working speakers to play music on. So it was very much, how do I do my job? it was starting over pretty much. How do I teach this way when I was taught to teach all of these other ways?
And when you were in the classroom, what was it like during the day dealing with teaching and dealing with a pandemic at the same time?
I mean, it was stressful. There's always the risk factor when you're in person. There's always, you go room to room. So if you're in one room, say I'm in second grade and somebody's mask comes off or somebody's coughing, and then that same day I have to then move my person to a different classroom with a different grade. It was stressful in that I didn't want to be a transfer agent for a deadly disease. So that was always on the back of my mind. I wanted to make sure that I wasn't doing anything that would harm the students or the other teachers, the faculty. So it was just a lot of bathing in hand sanitizer and hoping for the best. But teaching during the pandemic, even though in person was better than remote learning, was still extremely stressful because a bunch of responsibilities were put on pretty much everybody that weren't there before. and it just became overwhelming.
Let's back up a little bit and just talk about the beginning of the pandemic. So when you first learned about COVID-19, what were your thoughts about it?
It started my senior year of college when I was doing my bachelor's in music performance. And it was at the tail end of the year, spring semester. All of a sudden we hear about a virus that broke out. And at first I didn't think much of it because why would I? Really, just like, oh, you know, something's happening somewhere else. And then all of a sudden the state ordered all of the colleges to be shut down. And suddenly all of my classes, I think my teachers had like a couple of weeks to figure out. I think they had spring break actually. They had 1 week to figure out what are we gonna do for finals, for exams. For me, because I was a performance major, I had a recital. Like the date booked, the rehearsal set, I had everybody I needed, everything I needed in line. And then all of a sudden we can't do recitals in the recital hall because nobody's allowed in there. They weren't sure like if I was allowed to graduate because I wasn't doing the recital that everybody would normally have to do in order to graduate. They ended up making it so I had to just submit a video of myself playing alone, which was a little bit, I don't want to say depressing because that's an extreme word, but it definitely was not the experience that I was hoping for.
Yeah, so maybe disappointing?
Yeah, absolutely disappointing. Because again, I had, you know, my recital dress, I had my, like, I had my family coming, I had the date, the paperwork, the accompanist, everything, and I worked really hard. I worked really hard to make sure I was ready to perform. And then they're like, oh, just submit a video. So I ended up having to just do it like in my basement, you know, and that's not ideal.
Yeah, and in the interest of full disclosure, Janine and I are best friends, so I know how hard she worked for it. And I too was very disappointed that I didn't get to see your recital. I was looking forward to that. We even went shopping for the dress together.
Yeah, got it on discount, $7. But it was beautiful. I still have it. Maybe someday I'll do like an informal recital.
And I'll wear the jumper that I was supposed to wear for our martial arts banquet.
Yeah.
It'll be great.
but I guess to finish the question. So that was going on. Everything was canceled. And then I actually had, during spring break, when everything started closing down, I was actually in Florida visiting my sister, and we were very worried that the airports would shut down before we could get back. They didn't, which was good, but it was just another layer of, I was getting these school emails telling us like how things might work, like while I was in a different state and like everything was shutting down, and we're like, what? Like, what's gonna happen? Like, are we gonna be stuck here for a while? How long is this gonna last? That's pretty much what was going on.
And how have your thoughts changed since then? Now that we're sort of on hopefully the other side, although the Delta variant is coming. So
yeah. My thoughts on what exactly?
How have your thoughts changed about the pandemic since you first heard about it having sort of lived through a year and a half of it?
Well, it definitely opened my eyes a little bit to the state of the country and the world, in a way. In a way, I'm a little bit more disappointed in humanity, but there's been some good things, especially in my line of work. Teachers were needed, and I was able to get work very quickly. When I was working at Buffalo String Works, which was actually part of when I was remote teaching, I had to do some remote teaching when the pandemic started for Buffalo String Works before I went to Our Lady of Black Rock. So I sort of, like, I knew the apps and stuff that we had to use, like I was familiar with how that would work, so it wasn't as terrible of a transition, but it definitely open my eyes to the things that could happen. And I don't know if it's all negative. I don't think it's all negative, but it definitely is not all positive. I sort of see the light at the end of the tunnel. Like, it's there, and I'm just waiting for it to get a little bit closer. Yeah, my grandmother ended up with COVID twice in a nursing home. And she eventually passed away. For reasons not completely unrelated, but it definitely took a toll on her overall health, which let the other things, you know, get to her more than they probably would have if she wasn't sick twice. So it's been stressful. I'm still stressed, even though I've had a couple of like in-person classes at UB. It's very much like we're not out of the woods yet. Things are getting more relaxed, and that's exciting. It's exciting to be vaccinated and to go to Wegmans for shopping every week without having the need to, oh, I need to sanitize after I touch anything. I need to have my mask on. Like, do I have this? Do I have that? Now it's just like, oh, I can go to the store again, and that's great. Like, I love that. I love at Taekwondo how, even though I don't agree that the adults aren't mandated to wear masks if they're vaccinated anymore, I still think that it's a step in the right direction. We're still doing like cleaning the floors, cleaning the mitts, cleaning the chairs, but we're not as, it's not so much as, oh no, one person walked through, we have to clean everything now. It's more of, okay, after each class we do some cleaning, and it's more relaxed.
I may be asking you to predict the future a little bit here, but do you think that's going to continue, or do you have fears that that's going to change again with this Delta variant?
So what I've read so far about the studies involving the Delta variant is that those with Pfizer or Moderna vaccines are still 88% protected against it, and I believe all of them are not immune, but they're not likely to be seriously ill, even if they do show symptoms. So that makes me a little bit more relaxed about it, even though it is still a very real concern. I would be worried if things shut down again that there would be worse outcomes, which is crazy to say. How can there be a worse outcome than hundreds of thousands of people dying in a pandemic? But surprise, surprise, humanity is a wonder in and of itself.
Of course.
So I would be worried if there were another lockdown like how there was last year. So that's a concern, is that we're going to find a need to shut things down and people aren't going to like it. The other concern, again, is people who choose not to vaccinate just because they don't want their freedoms infringed upon, which I understand that everybody has to make their own decisions, but when it involves other people, I think that need to take a little bit more consideration into that. Because again, if they do get infected, then they are essentially a breeding ground for maybe a worse variant. Even though we're protected for the most part against the Delta variant being fully vaccinated, who's to say there won't be a different variant that is much worse and possibly even resistant to the things that we use right now to combat it? So that's a concern. That's a big concern. And unfortunately, it relies on, I guess, evolution. Hopefully it just won't happen. That would be great.
Yeah.
Because viruses can't choose to mutate. It just sort of happens. And it also relies on other people, you know, being generally good, which I have more hope for the evolution thing. I feel like it's just, you know, maybe the chances are it'll just sort of fizzle out. That would be great. I'd rather rely on that, but like you say, it's a coin toss either way. So
you mentioned that you're getting some information through like research that you've been doing and other people's research. So what Where are you getting that from? Like, what are your primary sources of that news and information then during the pandemic?
Pretty much just everything the CDC says. A lot of their stuff, like as they figure things out, they post articles. I read the articles and then I make decisions for myself based on what that is. So when they said at first, like, it would be helpful to wear a certain type of mask as opposed to like a different type, then I listened to it because I think that they've studied, they've spent their lives dedicated to this exact thing, and I'd rather trust them to help me make those decisions. So it's pretty much been the CDC, honestly. I don't trust a lot of like blog posts or anything. I don't just like if I Google something, I do my research and make sure that what I'm clicking on is not just somebody in their basement typing up what they feel that day. I like reputable sources. And if I can get them, that's great. And if they say that they don't know fully what's going on, I also take that into consideration because not everybody can know everything.
Do you consider mainstream media to be, I'm talking sources like the New York Times or MSNBC or Fox News or any of those sort of on TV sources or broadly read newspaper sources to be reliable?
I think they do a good job shorthanding the research sometimes. I've ran into situations where it seems like they didn't quite capture the essence of the article that they're quoting, or that they make mistakes in what they imply. I don't trust them implicitly. I don't, like, if I were to read an article or if I were to see like a news story on TV, I wouldn't take that as fact, because news articles like that, they're mainly to get views. And especially now when everything is so polarized, they want the most discussion about their particular form of media distribution. Like, they don't want, it's not just, here are the facts, here's what we learned. It's always something sensational about it, something to draw people's attention and get them to click on the links and get them to tune into their channel. So I don't trust the ulterior motives for them, and I think they have a lot to gain by misrepresenting certain sources. So no, if I were to read something or see something from one of those sources, I would double check it with a place more reputable.
And do you have any thoughts about how local, state, and or federal leaders have been responding to the pandemic?
Well, it started out okay. I mean, again, going back to my senior year of college, when the universities were like sort of like, well, we don't know if we're going to shut down, like nothing is certain yet, and then Governor Cuomo was like, no, we're shutting down now. So they were just like, oh, okay, we're shutting down now. Which, you know, made people figure it out really quick. I think that it wasn't super effective in the beginning because nothing had a widespread, this is what we are going to do. There was no uniform solution or uniform practice. It was mostly just county by county, pretty much all over the country. What do you feel like doing to try to help? And some places said, nothing, we don't need to do anything. And some places said, let's start locking things down, but then like they didn't actually enforce that. So nothing got solved, and it just made the lockdowns be longer, which in turn fueled the fire of people not wanting the lockdowns anymore because they don't work, when in reality it's not the lockdowns that didn't work. It's the fact that they were not enforced properly, because people are still going out, they're still gathering, they're still doing all the things they did before under the guise of a lockdown, when there was no lockdown. And I'll stand by that because I've seen too many parties, too many people doing things to say that there was ever a real lockdown where we are right now. So I think that it could have been handled more uniformly. I think it could have been handled more aggressively, honestly, in a way. Even if people would have been upset, this is something that could have been over in a month or two. And instead, it's a year and a half later, and we're still talking about the same things we were talking about a year and a half ago. So, yeah, I don't think it was handled great by anybody, except maybe New Zealand, because they did pretty good for a while.
Yeah.
I think it could have been done better. I think people were too afraid of making other people mad and making them upset when they ended up just making that worse in the long run. And they also lost the trust of pretty much everybody on either side by doing that. So, yeah.
Yeah. How did you handle the quarantine orders or the self-isolation orders?
I followed them pretty strictly. I was, so my mom's a nurse. She does home care. And toward the beginning months of the pandemic, she was actually tasked with going into patients' houses who were diagnosed with COVID. So she was going in there, like, you know, herself, and she had her protective gear and everything, but I remember she did not tell me that she was doing that until after it was done.
Mm.
And then there was always the concern of, but what happens if you accidentally brought something home? And now we are here. So we had the quarantine then. We quarantined for a little bit after coming back from Florida. It was just like wearing masks everywhere. I still have my hand sanitizer in my bag that I carry with me everywhere I go. And if I touch doors or tables or chairs, I use it. Even though I'm fully vaccinated and I don't have to wear a mask at Taekwondo, I still do every class. The only time I take it off is if I'm in the office with nobody else in there. So I think I followed it pretty religiously, for lack of a better word. Was I perfect? No. I still went to stores because, surprise, surprise, I am a human and I need food. and I can't just get things delivered. At least, I don't know how to do that. But, I took it fairly seriously. My whole family did a pretty good job, I think, especially toward the beginning of taking it very seriously. And just making sure that we did what we were supposed to do. So if anything happened, we knew at least we did the best that we could do. And if something happens, it happens, sure. It could have. But I knew that I couldn't do anything more other than lock myself away forever. So, yeah.
And has COVID-19 and the quarantine and lockdown, has any of that changed your relationship with family or friends or community? And if so, in what ways?
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, I learned a lot about people. I learned a lot more than I wanted to about people. My political views do not align with that, with those of my parents. So there was a lot of clashing going on. And it was hard. It was very tense a lot of the time. Because, and again, like I said, my family did a pretty good job at self-isolating and doing what we were supposed to do. But that doesn't mean that they liked it. So every day I had to hear about how stupid the masks are, how they wish they didn't have to wear them anymore, how they don't think the virus is that bad and that we'll probably be fine because we're healthy. And it's like, okay, but it's not about us, you know? So that was a really big divider. And of course, politics got dragged into it. We are on, I don't think we're on opposite ends of the political spectrum, but we are pretty close. So I had to hear a lot about, you know, our former president of the United States and how he said that it's not that big of a deal, so we should relax, when I knew that to not be true based on what I have seen. So yeah, it was tense. It was not my favorite.
Did your grandmother's multiple battles with COVID-19 affect your family's views on it at all, or not so much?
If anything, it made it worse. In part because our family was not allowed into the nursing home to see her. We were not allowed to visit. I think we got weekly video calls with her where sometimes she would just be sleeping, so they said, oh, we can't do it. And that was really hard because her health was declining. Like I said, she had COVID twice. And the nursing home staff are the people who gave it to her because they're the one, they brought it into the nursing home. So they said, we're not allowed to visit her because we might bring in COVID. But they are already bringing in COVID. So it's like, why are you keeping us out when you are already doing the things that you don't want us to do? And it made things worse in that regard, because it's like, well, why? Why can't we see our relatives? And I understand that pain very much because she was my relative too.
Yeah, that must have been difficult.
Yeah, it wasn't great. Like I said, stressful year. But I think everybody has their own version of that story where you know somebody. Pretty much everybody I know knows somebody who fought it, who was okay, who fought it and then was not okay. So it did make it a little bit worse in that regard, because it just was a bunch of pent-up frustration over, we have to follow all these rules, we have to do so much because you said so, but then your own staff doesn't apparently have to do those things. And she wasn't being taken care of the best of her ability. There is going to be a lawsuit about it. I'm not going to get into that now. But the way that it was handled was not great, and it just exacerbated the issues that were there at the beginning. Because it started out with being, oh, it's not so bad, we'll isolate, we'll get masks, we'll sanitize, and everything will be okay, to now we cannot see our family who is dying because you are killing her. Like, that's what happened in the nursing home.
Right.
Like, they did not take care of her properly. And so I think everybody just snapped a little bit.
So to be clear, the problems, I mean, there obviously are problems with your grandmother related to COVID-19, but as the lawsuit isn't necessarily that she got COVID-19, but how she was treated leading up
right
to or during that time?
Right. So the lawsuit itself isn't about COVID-19 because, again, things happen. It's a very slippery virus that, you know, it's contagious. It gets around very quickly. So at least me personally, and I can't speak for anybody else in my family, but I can't blame one or multiple people in the nursing home who might have accidentally brought it in, because I don't know what happened for that to happen. It could have just been they didn't, I don't want to say they didn't sanitize, maybe, I don't know, but somehow it got in. I don't know how it happened, so it just is what it is. The lawsuit's more about the time that she was there. She was neglected to the point that she required extensive hospitalization because of health problems that arose because they were not taking care of her anymore. Like, she had a bed sore on her back that went all the way to her bone because they didn't do anything. And she was in so much pain and they left her there. So it's not all about COVID-19. It's just a small piece of the puzzle of they weren't doing everything they should have been doing.
I'm sure it exacerbated the whole situation.
Well, yeah, it definitely would have made her health not up to where it could have been. You know, if she wasn't fighting it off twice, then her immune system could have been doing something else instead of being occupied.
Right.
But yeah, that's the big thing.
Well, I'm sorry that you had that experience and lost your grandmother ultimately.
Thank you.
My final question is for you, is knowing what you know now, What do you think that individuals, communities, or governments need to keep in mind for the future?
I think they just know they're not going to please everybody. Like, no matter what decision they make, somebody's going to be upset about something. Whether it's because they just don't like the person in charge, like, they just don't like them, they don't agree with them, or because there are legitimate reasons. No matter what calls are made, somebody's going to be upset, and they need to know that that's okay. It's okay if people are upset for a little bit, if it means that the whole is protected. Because, I mean, politics is a popularity contest, and everybody's so concerned about their image that they're putting, you know, regular people's lives on the line. Like we talked a little bit about the former president, and he made his stances on the whole thing very clear, but he was one of the first people to get the vaccine when it came out. So it's very much the case of no matter what you do, somebody's going to be upset, so you need to just make a call, stick to it. If it's the wrong one, it's the wrong one, you know, and that's a price that you pay. It's one of the risk factors of being in charge. But I think people just need to understand that it's not all about you. It's about everybody else. Which is what I think they could learn. To my family, I think they could learn that, again, it's not all about you. Just because you would be fine if you were sick, or because I would be fine if I was sick, doesn't mean that our neighbor, who is elderly, is going to be fine if she gets it. I think it just is so selfish. So many people are so selfish. And I didn't realize how selfish they were until this happened. And it's like, oh, I don't want to be around you anymore. So I think that that's something everybody can learn. Everybody can take away is you have to be there for people you don't know. You have to be willing to inconvenience yourself if it means literally saving somebody else from going through that. Even if they don't die, even if they just get sick, why do you want them to go through that? Like, there's no reason for it. If all I have to do is wear a mask, I trained for hours at a time in a mask, and I was fine. Is it harder to breathe? Absolutely. But I was fine doing it. And I'll do it for as long as I have to, if it means that I don't get anybody else sick. So that's, I don't know. Like I said, humanity's not at like its peak right now. It's like, it's a little bit torn up.
Well, I thought that was a fantastic answer. I wish everyone could hear that message. Hopefully they will through this archive. Thank you very much for your time and your contribution to the archive. It is greatly appreciated.
No problem.